Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
Let's talk about this weekend's game between the hedges, between the Bulldogs and the Bulldogs. We'll talk with our good friend Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7. He's been on the podcast many times before. And Jordan, when we do these interviews, I do these opponent previews, you know, normally I would come in with the idea that, okay, even a game like this where State's, you know, outmanned and outgunned, maybe there's a path where something can happen. And I don't have that feeling this year for Mississippi State at all. With Georgia, I think they may have played their best game of the season against Clemson, and they haven't really gotten back to that since. Have we seen the best version of Georgia at any time this year?
I don't think so. No, I do think that they took strides in that game last week against Auburn. I mean, mainly because the offense went down and scored on its first drive, and that's something they didn't even do against Clemson. I mean, the Auburn game was the first time they have scored any points at all. You know, they scored a touchdown, but even if it would have been a field goal in the first quarter against FBS competition. So that tells you how slow they've started games this year. But now, I thought that Auburn game, you showed strides in being able to consistently move the ball. There were some missed opportunities, but offense looked better. Trevor Etienne, I thought, had his best complete game as a Georgia Bulldog, running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield. Defense, I thought, took strides. Was a little surprised they weren't able to force any turnovers against a very turnover-prone Auburn team, but you know, held up, won by 18. I thought that game was a good encapsulation of both sides making strides. Clemson game to start the year was probably their most impressive win still, but offense took a little while to start clicking. So I thought that Auburn game was a step in the right direction, and see if they can follow it up on Saturday.
I don't think Mississippi State can tell themselves, yeah, we'll just do what Alabama did and try to win the game that way. I don't think that works for them. But I think they could say, well, let's take something from what Kentucky did to Georgia, and maybe they can play that way. In your opinion, what did Kentucky do in that game against Georgia that made it so close?
I think the big thing is that they really did a good job with time of possession, and a big part of that was that Kentucky defense had an outstanding game. They did a very good job of keeping Georgia on its toes, of not really allowing Georgia to have extended drives. And again, going back to Trevor Etienne, he was a big reason Georgia won that Kentucky game. Their only touchdown drive, he was really the driving force of getting them downfield. So I think a lot of credit is due to Kentucky's defense, especially that front with Deion Walker and some of those other guys. And then on the other side, on the Kentucky offense, you know, I thought Brock Vandergriff's dual threat ability opened up opportunities for Kentucky, and Brock made plays, and they hit a few explosive plays in the passing game. But to me, that Kentucky game was all about that Kentucky defense, because they held and held and held, did a very good job against Georgia. Unfortunately for the Wildcats, all the offense could do was kick four field goals, and you just can't win games like that. If I was looking back on that, and I'm sure Mark Stoops has thought about it, whether he would share it or not, I don't know. But they should have been a little bit more aggressive. There were a few fourth downs that they kicked field goals instead of going for it. You know, I know Georgia is not number one right now, but they're still a championship contender. If a team like Mississippi State is pushing them and trying to get a game to the wire, you're going to have to take your chances on fourth downs. You're going to have to go for six instead of three. You've got to try to hit those shots when they present themselves, because against a team like Georgia, they don't present themselves all that often.
Mississippi State's biggest weakness, in my opinion, is its defensive line. They just don't get a lot of push, both in the run game and in pass rush. How good is this Georgia team on the offensive line? It feels like that's going to be a big mismatch on Saturday.
Well, definitely something to watch from the Georgia perspective, in that they've been banged up. Tate Ratledge, the starting right guard, he is still out as he works back from an ankle injury. They've had Michael Morris playing in his place, a guy that's played quite a bit, but has just been making in his first few starts as a Bulldog. And then the big question for Georgia going into Saturday is going to be the center position. Jared Wilson was a starter to begin the season. He gets banged up against Alabama, does not play against Auburn. And Drew Bobo, Mike Bobo's son, played and made his first career start in that game against Auburn, which was kind of funny because he was a one-time Auburn commit back when Mike was the Tigers' offensive coordinator. And Drew played really well. We heard from Carson Beck and Kirby Smart and some of Drew's teammates that they thought he did a really good job in his first start. So this offensive line is still in pretty good shape, but there are big question marks. And again, we'll be watching on Saturday and be looking during the week at the availability report if Jared Wilson's able to come back or if Drew Bobo makes his second straight start at the center position.
When I talked about this game in the preseason, my thought was I had two thoughts. One, that State would be a lot better than they are. That just is what it is. But I also thought that, you know, maybe Georgia will be undefeated and looking ahead to that huge matchup with Texas. That's impossible now because of Georgia losing that game to Alabama. Do you feel like that the team has kind of embraced the idea that, hey, we don't have a lot of losses left to give, maybe only one at most. Are they focused on every game, whereas maybe a few weeks ago they might have been overlooking a team like Mississippi State?
For sure. And I think you kind of got that. I would encourage folks who saw the Georgia Auburn game, if you watched it on TV at the end, the sideline reporter Molly McGrath told Carson Beck that, you know, at the time Vanderbilt's beating Alabama, and you can tell that Carson basically said, I don't really care. I mean, basically, because they've moved on from the Alabama game and he was focused on Auburn and then turning the attention to this week. I mean, something that Kirby has talked about nonstop is just taking it week by week. And, you know, he was asked, you know, do you use motivation of things that happened like last week with Arkansas beating Tennessee, Vanderbilt beating Alabama? And he said, no, we got to focus on ourselves. We have to, you know, we can't get outside motivation as far as what other teams are doing. So, no, I think they understand the circumstances. I do think, Brian, that you're right. If Georgia was undefeated, that this would be a really obvious look ahead spot where you would say, all right, does Georgia show up in this game and show out? I think the fact they've got that loss, and I think the fact that, you know, this team isn't perfect, that there's still areas they want to work on and areas that other teams can exploit. I think they understand they have to show up. I think it helps that it's at home, and that they want to give the crowd something to get fired up about and try to take advantage before they have to make that trip to Austin.
Speaking of the crowd, Kirby Smart had some pointed comments about the crowd last weekend in at the Auburn game. Are you starting to feel a little restlessness from Georgia fans this season? Like I said earlier, I don't know that they've played their best football yet. They have that loss to Auburn. They struggled with Kentucky. Are UGA fans, I mean, I hate to say spoiled, man, but gosh dog, they've won two national titles in the last the 4 seasons. What's the mood around this Georgia football program, I guess, is the question I'll ask.
Well, I think it's comparable to some of the stuff Nick Saban and Alabama ran into in the 2010s. And I can think about Nick calling out Alabama fans for, you know, either leaving at halftime or not being loud enough. And, you know, watching the game back for a story I did this week, I think Kirby really got the most upset because the loudest Sanford Stadium got on Saturday was right before a Georgia 4th and 1 they were going for it. And the big screen showed Vanderbilt scoring on Alabama, and it erupted like it really hadn't all game. And Kirby's jumping up and down trying to get everybody to be quiet because they need to be able to hear the snap count and try to make this 4th down, try to convert. I think it's a situation with some of the stuff we've talked about, Brian. I mean, I think the offense has been hit and miss at times. There hasn't been a ton of explosive plays. You know, they kind of have to methodically work their way downfield. A lot of Carson Beck's throws are within 15 yards or so. He's not taking a lot of deep shots. So I think that's part of it. Looking at that Auburn game specifically, you know, to defend the fans, it was unseasonably hot. I mean, we were kind of surprised by how warm it was. So I think that took some of the juice out of them. And I think, too, that there's some of the game day ops at Georgia that they could make the experience a little bit more enjoyable. I think that some of that, whether it's playing music that's come out in the last 10 years, you know, Georgia comes out to Bob O'Reilly by the Who for every game, which is fine with me. It's a tradition, but I don't know how much fans are getting fired up. You know, college students are getting fired up to hear the Who. I think it's kind of stuff like that, and I get Kirby being frustrated. And I think in part too, it can be a challenge to this week where Kirby knows Georgia's a big favorite. It would be very easy for these fans to kind of go through the motions. Kirby offered them a challenge, and we'll see if they're willing to accept it.
Yeah, here at State, for years they've come out to For Whom the Bell Tolls, and they changed it this year to Money for Nothing. And I get it. I get what you're saying there about, like, is this really the song that they want to get the crowd fired up? I get that point. We're not that different after all, even though, we're separated by all this space, Jordan.
Yeah, glad to hear it.
What's been the biggest who has been the biggest surprise for the Bulldogs thus far? Who's a player that you didn't have a lot of expectations for and has performed at a high level thus far?
I'll give you two guys and one on each side of the ball. On offense, Lawson Lucky, who's a tight end, sophomore, a guy that drew a lot of buzz last year during his first spring. He hurts his ankle. He doesn't really factor into Georgia's plans. I think he catches two passes in total. And he's been Georgia's best pass catcher as a tight end. And we know how much Georgia loves using the tight ends in the passing game. He's been huge. He had a big catch against Auburn. We talked to him on Tuesday night, and you could tell he's feeling confident. He basically said that he feels like he's earned Mike Bobo's trust as part of this offense. And I think that's huge. And I think he's a guy they got to continue taking advantage of. He may not be their best blocking tight end. I would still give that to Oscar Delp, who's the older guy between the two. But Lawson Lucky's really impressed. And then on the other side of the ball, I would say Ty Ingram Dawkins, defensive end, a guy that we continued to hear good things about him the last probably 2 years. But over and over again, he's dealt with injury. It felt like he had a foot injury that probably lingered for about 2 seasons. And you kind of wondered, all right, is this guy ever going to click? Is this ever going to work out for him? And he's been healthy this year. He's been great. He had two sacks on Peyton Thorne in that Auburn game and in like the first 12 minutes of the game. And he's been huge for Georgia's defensive line, especially because Mykael Williams is not quite 100%, still working back from that ankle injury he suffered in the Clemson game. So Ty Ingram Dawkins has been really good. Just a shout out to another guy. Dan Jackson, a former walk-on, has been a starting safety and has been outstanding. He's tied for the team lead in tackles. A guy that none of us really, hyped up when he said, "Yeah, I'm coming back when I use my super senior year." He's done a great job alongside Malachi Starks in the back end of that secondary, Dan Jackson, and he blocked a field goal in that Auburn game. He's done a very good job as part of this Georgia defense.
2 weeks ago, Mississippi State played Texas and, lost 35-13, but they were a 38-point underdog in that game. They had some moments in there that the game was relatively close going into the fourth quarter. And Mississippi State fans, trying to find positives in the season, took some from that performance and said, hey, they were better this week and they played a little bit better. Can State hang with Georgia the way they did with Texas 2 weeks ago? Is it possible for the final score of this game to be something like, I don't know, 35-14, and you walk away saying, okay, State's getting better, a little bit better each and every week?
I think so, and I think the onus is on Mississippi State's defense because it seems like if a team can slow down Georgia, particularly in that first quarter, you can kind of tell that Georgia spends like that next quarter trying to figure out what exactly is going wrong, what do we need to do differently. That would be my key. I can see, I'm sure it's going to be a very tough situation for Michael Van Buren trying to go out there. Again, we'll see what the crowd sounds like. But to me, if this game is going to be respectable from the Mississippi State side, that Bulldogs defense has to get stops, has to stop Trevor Etienne in this run game, has to make Carson Beck face third mediums, third and longs, because that's been one of the biggest weaknesses going back to these slow starts for Georgia, is that they've had third and mediums, third and longs, and not all that many third and shorts. Kind of changed a little bit in that Auburn game, and as a result, Georgia converted 50% of its third down. So I would say if this game is respectable, and if Mississippi State fans come out of it saying, "Okay, we performed pretty well given the circumstances," I say it's got to be the Mississippi State defense that shows up, frustrates Georgia, especially early in the game.
We shall see how that all pans out. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7, man. Always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.